General Ramirez, it may be a little bit too soon, but we'd like to welcome you to Aggieland and ask if you have some words for us.
Well, thank you, Jason. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Well, listen, first off, let me just say how honored and humbled I am to be selected for this position. It's a very important position. I fully understand the significance of the Commandant of the Corps of Cadets and what role he plays in the life of the Corps every day. And I can tell you that I truly am extremely pleased and humbled to have been selected for such an important position. And as I mentioned during my interviews, I pledge to give 110% of my effort to ensuring that we do what's best for all those cadets, those fine young men and women who will lead our state and our nation in the future. And I pledge 110% of my effort to try to ensure that we achieve the goals that that both the president and the vice president for student affairs lay out for the Corps of Cadets and those fine young men and women who one day will lead our nation and lead our country and lead our state. So with that, I'll go ahead and just turn it over to anybody that has any questions at this time, given the significance of today's announcement.
Thank you, General Ramirez. What we'll do is we'll ask, if you have a question, just identify yourself real briefly so General Ramirez will know who he's talking to, and we'll open up the floor for questions.
This is Jeannie Kiever with the Houston Chronicle. General Ramirez, pardon my ignorance, but have you retired from the Army?
Jeannie, I am currently on what's known as terminal leave. My official retirement date is 1 January 2011. And with the accrued leave that I had basically saved up over time, I was able to leave my duty station on the 23rd of September, and I am officially on what's known as terminal leave, which is the leave we take just prior to retiring. So I'm officially retired effective 1 January, and I'm currently on terminal leave.
Thank you.
General Bill Oliver, WTAW Radio and Bryan College Station, walk us through the interview process a little bit. What sort of things were you after? What sort of questions were you being asked?
Sure, Bill. I'll be glad to. First off, it was two very, very long days of interviews. I mean, we packed in a lot into 2 days, but the one thing I will tell you about it was after those 2 days, I felt, number one, that I'd had the opportunity to talk to virtually everybody that I thought, you know, of significance there at the university, from the president on down. And I truly felt like I had the opportunity to talk to all of them and tell my story and explain to them why I thought I'd be a good Commandant of the Corps of Cadets. And the second thing that came out of that was I felt the process was fair. I mean, when I walked away from there, I felt that I had every opportunity to, again, tell my story and explain to everybody why I felt I'd be a good commandant. And when I walked away, I talked to the guy who was escorting me. I said, you know, after 2 days, two long days, I truly feel like it was a very fair process and I got every opportunity. And regardless of which way the decision goes, I truly feel like I got a fair shake. So, again, it was two very good long days. I got a chance to meet with everybody from the president, vice president of student affairs, the deans, the leadership of the Corps of Cadets, the professors of military science, a lot of other members of the administration who asked me a wide variety of questions, everything from what would be my priorities as the Commandant of the Corps of Cadets to things like what made me decide to come to Texas A&M, what made me decide to apply for the job as the commandant, to strategies for raising money. It ran the gamut. And it was, again, it was very thorough. I applaud the university for their thoroughness in their interview process, because I went through the same 2 days that General House went through, and it was a very, very thorough process, and I thought a very fair process in the end.
General, if I may follow up, what is your story and why were you interested in applying?
Well, if you look at my bio, I grew up here in Houston, Texas, and I really went to A&M, and it's a long story, but I really went for two reasons. One was my father, who served in Korea, served for a lieutenant who was an A&M graduate who died in my father's arms. a guy by the name of Mabry Kane. He was class of 1950, and my dad still to this day considers him the finest leader he ever served with in 22 years of military service. And he always told me that, you know, this guy came from Texas A&M University. And my dad, who was not a college graduate, who only graduated from high school, told me, he goes, you know, when you go to college, if you choose to go to Texas A&M, the same school that produced Mabry Kane, that's okay. That's okay in my book. And then the second reason was I played the alto sax. I played the alto sax since third grade. And one day I was in downtown Houston when the Corps of Cadets was marching in. I saw the Aggie band go marching by, and I said, man, I want to be a part of that organization. I didn't know anything about them, but I knew I wanted to be part of that. As soon as I watched them march by, it had that big an impact seeing them. So that's why I went to Texas A&M and I graduated from there, got a commission out of Texas A&M. I was fortunate enough to get an Army ROTC scholarship at the end of my sophomore year, and I owed the Army 5 years, or 4 years, excuse me, and I thought I'd do 4 years and come home, and stuck around for almost 31. So when the position of the commandant came open, I thought, here's a great opportunity for a kid who came out of Houston, Texas, who a lot of people thought probably never would make it to college, to come back and give a little something back to the university that produces fine young leaders every day. And I've served with literally hundreds of them throughout 30 years of military service. And anything I can do to help encourage that, make that process even better, I'm willing to do. Well, I will tell you, as I looked at, one thing I have to tell you right up front is being in the military for the last 30 years and actually still technically on active duty, I have not had the opportunity to spend as much time at the university as others have. But the university did a great job in preparing me for my interviews, of sending me a lot of information right up front about the school and the Corps of Cadets. I got a chance to review the Corps standard. And as I looked at that, three things I thought jumped out at me. And these are the three things that I talked to during my interview process when I was there those 2 days. First and foremost is academics, because ultimately every one of those cadets is there to get a college education. And I'd like to see every single one of them succeed in getting that college education. And I'd like to see the core academic average exceed the school average. So that would be number one priority for me. Number two would be recruiting and retention. And that's, again, getting the numbers up in the core cadets, because I think as the school population grows, we've got to also grow the population in the core of cadets for a lot of good reasons. And I think we've got to go out and attract young men and women back into the core cadets and make them want to come and be a part of that great organization. So recruiting intention would be number two. And number three would be diversity. I'd like to see the numbers in the core of cadets more reflective of both the state of Texas and our country as a whole with respect to minorities and women. So those are the three priorities that I continued to pitch over and over again during my interview process. And unless directed otherwise, those are the three priorities I tend to focus on when I come there as a commandant.
General, this is Scott Walker with Texas Aggie Magazine and the Association of Former Students.
Yes, Scott.
You said in your opening statement today that your job was to achieve the goals laid out by the president and vice president. Are those the same as the three goals you just lined out, or are there other goals that they've given you that you can share with us?
Well, I really have not had a chance to sit down with either one of them as the announced commandant. You know, we talked about a variety of things during the interview process. And I talked to both of them, and I told both of them that was what I was talking. I will just say this. I think it's in line. Now, they may have additional ones, but I think those three are in line with what the president and vice president have. But, again, I have not yet sat down with either one as the announced commandant of the Corps of Cadets as of yet.
Okay. Thank you.
This is Jeannie Kiever with the Houston Chronicle again. Do you have any specific thoughts on what you'll do for recruiting, both just in terms of numbers and to increase diversity?
Well, I think I've got some initial thoughts, and I don't really want to get too far out ahead of, you know, either the president or the vice president or even the former students. But, you know, I've got some ideas. I think we need to make the Corps more visible throughout the state. This kid here was influenced greatly by seeing the Corps of Cadets march into downtown Houston, influenced enough that he wanted to come to Texas A&M, even though he knew nothing about the school or the Corps of Cadets as a whole. So I think first and foremost, we've got to make the Corps more visible and get out and preach the gospel about the goodness of the Corps of Cadets and what we can do for young men and women who want to go on to become leaders in our state and in our country. In terms of diversity, I will tell you, I think we need to put role models who are you know, graduates of Texas A&M, who were members of the Corps of Cadets, who have gone on to be successes in a wide variety of fields, that we can put up in front of others that look like them and get them to talk about their experiences at Texas A&M and how the Corps of Cadets helped make them the successes they are today. And I'm talking about Hispanics, I'm talking about blacks, I'm talking about Asians, I'm talking about women across the board, so that we can get, and we've got them. We've got huge success stories out there from Texas A&M and every one of those demographics that we can hopefully tap into and put out in front of these groups of young men and women who are thinking about colleges and say, let me show you a success story from Texas A&M who was a member of the Corps of Cadets and how the Corps of Cadets helped shape this young man or woman and help make them the success they are today. Joe Ramirez can do that. I can do that as a Hispanic male and talk about my story. And I can do that, I think, fairly well with Hispanic audiences. But we need to get others, you know, Asians, blacks, women, who can do the same thing with their groups. And I think we can be very, very effective like that.
May I just ask where you went to high school?
I went to Stephen F. Austin High School. I grew up here on the east side of Houston, Magnolia Park, Second Ward, that area.
General Ramirez, where are you physically right now?
I am at my father's house. I'm at the house where I grew up. I'm here with my dad, and I'm taking some time off. I spent last week at my aunt's beach house down in Galveston and just enjoyed the weather and the sun and the surf. It was good to be back in warm weather again after having just come from Germany. So I'm at my dad's house, taking it easy, relaxing, and enjoying some time off.
Any ideas how many trips you'll take to College Station between now and your official start date?
Well, I plan to be there Wednesday. I'm coming this Wednesday. I'm going to meet with the Vice President of Student Affairs, General Weber. I'm going to meet with him. And then today I got a call from the Colonel Jake Betty, he's been the acting commandant now for a while. And he's got a staff meeting on Thursday morning and invited me to come and at least say hello and meet everybody. So I may take advantage of that while I'm there and also get a chance to stop by. And after that, it'll all depend on what the requirements are and if I really need to be there. But I will be there Wednesday and Thursday, Wednesday afternoon to meet with General Weber, and then Thursday morning to meet with the staff of the Corps there.
Could you share a trip down memory lane about what it was like when you were a student and the things that you remembered that perhaps you might employ now that you're going to be commandant?
Wow. Well, I will tell you, one of the things that as I talk to people there is, you know, way back then it was a different time. It was I got there in 1975 and I graduated in 1979. It was a different era. It was post-Vietnam. And things were so much more different back then than they are today. And it's a different environment today. This is a different generation. I'm just coming off of active duty where I work with 18, 19, 20-year-old kids every day. And it is. It's a different generation. So they view the world differently. They learn differently. They process information differently. And we've got to be able to adapt accordingly to ensure that we're meeting the needs of this generation, but more importantly, the needs of our country, who needs talented and qualified leaders for both the state and the country in the future. So as I look back on my time back in the 70s, great time. It was a great experience for me, but it was a different environment back then, and there's a lot of things that I hope have changed from back then to where we are today to ensure that we're adapting to produce the right kinds of quality leaders we need in today's environment.
Is it oversimplification to say you want the general outcome about the quality of the leaders. It's just how you get there is going to be different.
I think so, and I would just tell you that, you know, the way I came up in the Corps of Cadets and some of the methods that were used then are not would not be effective today. Having just come straight off of active duty, I think there are some of the things we did back then that would no way be applicable in today's environment. And my hope is that we've adapted and changed to ensure that we are producing the right kinds of leaders for today's environment.
This is Jason Cook. A reminder that we do have Cadet Colonel Keim is here for a student perspective if you have any questions there. And then also we have General Weber in the room with us, too, if anyone has any questions.
General Weber, what set General Ramirez apart from the other candidates?
As you know, or at least as I know, it was a very good process, a transparent process. We were given two great candidates, two great candidates who've served their country a long time, who have a great love, devotion for their beloved Texas A&M, and who are interested in leading young men and women. It was a difficult decision. Both qualified. So how do you pick, what about going the best qualified? And General Ramirez talked about coming here for 2 days, as did Lieutenant General House, and being subjected to two pretty grueling days of questions and sessions and visiting many, many people, all the stakeholders from former students to faculty to staff. When you look at having got to interview both of them myself and attending several meetings, I just felt like, and General Ramirez, Joe alluded to it a few minutes ago, about the young men and women that we have in today and being able to lead them and prepare them for what they're going to have to face in the future, be it in the military or as leaders in our communities. Joe was very impressive with his ideas. I was especially good to hear his emphasis on academics, on growth and the sustainment of the Corps, his stressing of leadership and the fact that the Corps of Cadets continues to be that great leadership factory that we have all talked about. And they were all of those issues were very, very important to me. And he expressed himself well in addressing them.
Why is it important to grow the Corps?
I think it's important to grow the Corps for several reasons. You know, we continue to talk about the Corps cadets as the keepers of the spirit and the guardians of the tradition. And many people tell me that, well, General Weber, you need to get with the program because things have changed, and the Corps cadets are only 4% of the student body now. And so maybe not as important anymore, and I just bring it to their attention that, you know, your heart's probably about 4% of your body, and if your heart's sick, then some of your body has a tendency to get sick. And as long as I think I keep referring to a survey that was done not too long ago where some of the a number of the more significant donors were asked what was the important to them, what was the thing that was most important to them at Texas A&M University, and it came out as the Corps cadets. So and I'm not saying that there's not other student organizations that are important out here. They all are. They're all provide leadership opportunities for our students. The fact of the business is the Corps cadets started a lot of the traditions of this school, and the students and the faculty and the staff here themselves fully understand and appreciate the importance of maintaining a healthy Corps of Cadets so we can maintain what is unique and special about Texas A&M University.
I'd like to ask what it's been like for students to be waiting for a new leader over the past 9 months or however long it's been.
Jeannie, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Well, to be perfectly honest, the act acting interim commandant, Colonel Jake Betty, has done an absolutely wonderful job stepping into this role. He's been around Texas A&M, the Corps of Cadets, for longer than I've been alive, to be perfectly honest. And he knows how the Corps runs, and we know what business we're in. And that business is developing young leaders of character to go out and serve this state and our great country. So we've been doing our best to keep going in that role and to keep developing leaders, knowing full well that the university and the leaders, Dr. Lofton and General Weber, in this selection process would bring us a new commandant, one that would be fully qualified and who would be able to step into the position and continue to lead us in this level of excellence that we've held ourselves to over the last 125-plus years.
General Ramirez, anything you'd like to add?
No, I think most of the questions I had, I got a chance to ask during those 2 days of interviews. I will stress again, how honored I am to be selected for this. As General Weber mentioned, it's a pretty in-depth process, but in the end, I truly felt it was a fair process. And either way, I walked away saying if they pick the other guy, then hey, I'm with them 100% because this process was done extremely well, and a lot of credit goes to the university for the way they went about doing this. I thought it was about as thorough a process as I've ever been a part of. So, again, I truly am honored and humbled to be back at Aggieland as a Commandant of Corps Cadets. I've always said that's a dream job, and I think anybody who's ever been in the Corps Cadets would say the exact same thing. And, again, I pledge everything that I've got to ensure that we make the Corps Cadets and those cadets successful in every way possible.